So it's the book of Colossians. It's a letter that was written to an early church. And it's actually an exciting letter because it just has so much richness in it. It has so much that we can take home and apply to our lives as followers of Jesus. It is a rich book. I have in my hand a packet of cucumber seeds, Lebanese. And I just got them this morning at Bunnings. And if I was to plant these seeds, what would I expect to grow?
Bananas.
Awesome. Let's see if we got. Okay. Some of you guys might need to go back to school. Cucumbers. Within this seed of this packet, there's a DNA that this seed wants to become a cucumber. Okay, it wants to reproduce itself as well. It has something within it. The gospel of Jesus Christ planted with us when we receive Jesus, it has a DNA. It has within it, like this seed, and often the gospel is called like a seed, and our church is called seed, which is to represent the gospel. If that did come out as bananas when you planted that seed, something's gone wrong. And if you do everything right and that seed grows, doesn't grow, something's gone wrong. If you've done, watered it and put everything, and we're not very good gardeners when we plant seeds. They seem to all do die, unfortunately. We seem to have to buy them when they're little shoots. But this is what the gospel is all about. And this is what Colossians is all about. Do you realise that the gospel of Jesus, the message of hope, what it's designed to do in you, within the lives of your, within your life, within the people around you? The believers at Colossae got it. They really did. They got what Jesus has done for them, what the gospel really produces in us and them. They really got it. And do we really get it? I mean, in the passage that's in front of you, we're going to read some of it in a section in a minute. Jesus has qualified you, to belong to his kingdom. And do you know what the gospel of hope being planted is designed to produce? Do you really know it? Because Colossians will tell you. This is God's word for you so you can grow as a Christian. Grow even if you're not a Christian so you can understand who Jesus is. So we want to pay attention to this letter. And today we're only going to look at verses, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. But this is an amazing letter. And I think it contains enough spiritual food for life in this little letter. Because most likely this is probably all they had. They may have had the letter of Philemon. They may have had access to Ephesians. They probably didn't have the Old Testament. They weren't generally Jews. They probably did have very little. So reading this letter over and over again will give you growth because these people were growing, as we'll read. These people were growing. And this letter is written to Christians who are living in first century Asia Minor, which was modern Turkey, and they'd heard the gospel. They'd heard Jesus. And Paul is someone who's God's spokesman, who's an apostle appointed by Jesus to speak words, and he writes to them to encourage them. Says verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints faithful, brothers and the faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So here, Paul is calling these early Christians saints. Saints, God's holy people. See, sometimes, we've got a lot of different religions around, even some that claim sort of Christianity, and often we think of saints as this, like this select group of people. But Paul is calling everyday followers of Jesus here saints. Saints. And you can feel Paul's excitement because he's excited about these people. He's praying for these people. He's heard about these followers of Jesus and what the gospel has done into their lives, what Jesus has done, that their lives have been shaped more like Jesus, that Jesus is working in them, changing them, renewing them, and how they are brothers together. Sometimes we think, you know, is it brothers and sisters? It's actually one family. The word there, it means one family, brothers, like a brotherhood, like one, not sort of male and female, but equal brothers in Christ. Saints and brothers, holy people together in Christ, loving each other because God loves them. Does anyone know who planted this church in Colossae? Anyone have a guess? I think it might have been the Apostle Paul. Who planted it? Maybe Apostle Paul? Or maybe Timothy or Titus or maybe Peter or John? It's a thriving church. Anyone know? This is an exciting, thriving church. Oh, go Gia. Yep. Epaphras. Yep. This church was planted by Epaphras. Of this, verses 5 to 8, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. This was an everyday guy who lived in Colossae called Epaphras, who planted a church. And he planted it smack bang in the middle of a culture of mixed religions, of spirituality, of mysticism, of everything. This guy heard Paul telling the gospel, most likely when he might have been visiting Ephesus when he was out of town. And this guy, Epaphras, heard the gospel, believed in Jesus, heard it from Paul, went back to his hometown and told others about Jesus. And his local mates heard about Jesus through Epaphras in Colossae, and they believed. We all got this new spiritual DNA that the Holy Spirit puts in us. And therefore, as a result of all this, just talking about Jesus and the hope found in him, the Colossian church was planted, came into existence. The gospel produces a church. Gospel produces a church. This is fantastic. This is not about the people. This is about the power of the gospel, about the power of Jesus, about the power of his Spirit. Sometimes we think we need to be someone special like Paul, have some sort of special calling on our lives to be an apostle like he was. Not that we see that today, but in a sense we think that sort of way. We think we need some special training. I don't know this guy Epaphras. We don't know much about him. He obviously could speak and people heard him. But he's a freshman. He's a freshman from Jesus. He's a fresh follower of Jesus. He has no degrees. He has no planting experience. He's just talking to people about Jesus. And these people weren't in a culture that grew up knowing Jesus. It's not like us today. We go and talk about Jesus. And some people have heard about the Easter story or hear about Christmas. These people were completely foreign to Jesus. To them, it would have been some weird thing. Yet this church was thriving. Why? The gospel. The gospel. These people were growing and multiplying. Why? The gospel. Epaphras didn't even stop at his local town. He took the message of Jesus to two other neighbouring towns and planted more churches there. You read at chapter 4, way at the end of Colossians, "For I bear him witness," this is talking about Epaphras, "that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis." Okay, so he's planted two other churches. This guy, ordinary guy, everyday guy. This guy's a gospel machine. He was on fire for Jesus. These people were on fire for Jesus. Why? Because they knew what people needed to know and believe. They heard it. They believed it. Other people needed to hear it. They wanted people to get transferred back into God, transferred back into the kingdom of God. Everyone needs to come back to God. Therefore, everyone needs a fresh start with God. Everyone needs to hear God's message. It's a bit like someone, you know, rolling up here and they came from Kahuna for the day, and then we heard this message today and got the gospel and went back, and we have Seed Community Church in Kahuna. You know, it's pretty simple. That's what happened. No frills, no rock band to follow, no cool digital things. It's the Word of God. Not saying those things are good. Music's good. All those sorts of things are good. Very good. But he had the gospel. The key was the gospel. The gospel. And here we see these everyday people being transferred. That the Holy Spirit, that same gospel DNA that worked in Colossae, that worked in these people, these everyday people, is at work today through you and me. For you and me. Through us. But do we actually believe it? Do we actually get up each morning and think it? As we live in this town, do we believe it? Our God has not changed. The hope in Jesus has not changed, and people in our culture have not changed. They still need Jesus. And don't think that they had it easy back then. I've already said they were walking and planting a church in a culture that had nothing to do with anything. Probably hardly even knew anything about Judaism, let alone Christianity. They probably heard of some weird guy named Paul that's preaching in Ephesus. But that's if they're lucky. For this guy, Epaphras, it would have been like us going back to our great-great-grandparents and trying to explain Facebook to them. It would have been so foreign, it would have been confusing. What are you on about? Yet these people in this culture heard. And they listened, and the people were speaking. And they discovered that talking about Jesus actually does change people. No matter where they are, no matter what culture they're in, no matter how difficult things look, no matter how unspiritual a culture looks, the gospel is the key. Jesus is the key. The power of the gospel. And what resulted was people coming to Jesus, a church was planted, and Paul gives thanks for the power of the gospel, for this effort, for this work, because God's work is amazing. It's amazing. I wonder about your life today. Are you excited about sharing about Jesus as Epaphras was? Are you excited about that? I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus today, you are most likely know more than he did. You've most likely got more exposure and more information about theology, about culture, about even apologetics, anything than he did. Knowing is good. These guys got it and lived it out. And that's the key. Real growth, seeing real fruit in action. And it all came through God's word. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world and is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made us known, made known to us your love in the Spirit. You know, as I read this, I thought about that parable that Helen read about Mark 4, about the parable of the sower going out, and the nature of that gospel kingdom seed was to grow. It wanted to grow. Things stopped it from growing, but it wanted to grow. It wanted to grow. See, that's the point of that parable to the disciples. Be confident, because this gospel wants to grow. If it's not growing, it's because of other factors. Pretty simple. If it's not growing, it's because of other factors, because it wants to grow. As much as that seed in the right environment wants to grow and become a cucumber. Jesus isn't a cucumber, okay? But you get the idea in the natural sense of our world. The gospel was doing this in Colossae and wherever it was spoken in the world. As the gospel went out, the great mission that we see. Do you see the key? The cause of growth, the gospel message spoken, equals growth in Jesus. The gospel of hope to all people comes to all people through words. They hear the word of truth. They understand God's grace about Jesus. It's not rocket science. And the result of speaking the word and people understanding it is more people belonging to the family of God. And the growth is not just external. As we speak it with others, the gospel grows in us as we understand it. It's a DNA of Jesus in us. It's a DNA of God. The Holy Spirit has planted it there in our lives as we follow Jesus. The word planted in us equals growth in us. Jesus' DNA is in us. And what Jesus has to say about life bears fruit in us as it does in the entire world. God's word is the most powerful word in the universe. It is the word that spoke the universe into existence. You know, sometimes we think the Bible to be a magic book. No, it's a book that teaches us. It's God's word. It teaches us that God loves us, that God has rescued us through Jesus, and God wants us to start living as his child, as his kingdom people, under his kingship. Let's hear more of God's word. Verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May he be strengthened of all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." You know, Jesus achieved all this through the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection qualifies us into the kingdom of God, into God's family. Jesus died to take away our guilt, our shame that kept us away from God, kept us outside God's family. We live in a point of darkness. Now, through Jesus, we live in his glorious light. We all need forgiveness. We all ignored God at some point in our life. But Jesus qualifies us for eternal life. As we hear and believe God's word about Jesus, we are people, if we don't know Jesus, being transferred, if we believe in Jesus, into that kingdom of goodness and blessing. That's what Paul calls them, saints. They're people being transferred, being qualified into a new life. There is no way we can qualify ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. That's why Jesus is great news for all who receive him, because we either live in darkness outside of Jesus, or we belong in the kingdom light, belonging to Jesus. And because we have that transfer, as we can see there, things change. Our life changes. We no longer have the DNA of darkness. That's still lingering around, but we have the DNA of the gospel. The word of God that wants to grow. So therefore, Jesus has put us in the place to grow. So therefore, we walk in a manner worthy. Therefore, we love Jesus and are thankful for Jesus because he has qualified us. And we share life together as God's people. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that wonderful? The gospel is like a seed. It's designed to grow and multiply. And Paul's prayer is that they will and we will keep growing. So they already are growing, but he's saying keep growing. It's increasing, increasing, increasing. I wonder if that's your prayer today. I wonder if you pray, Lord, I want to increase. I want to grow. I want to grow more. You have planted your DNA, who you are in me. You've planted the gospel seed in me. I want to grow. You know, I want to grow and see other people change. You know, I think about it as I read this. I think about life as like running a race or walking a race. Here it talks about walk worthy. I'm guessing maybe they weren't as athletic as the Greeks. The Greeks seem to always be, Paul's always running a race with the Greeks and walking with the Asian Minor people. So maybe that's what they did. Just to get, you know, either one is fine. But, you know, imagine there's a race or a power walk or whatever it is, and you know, normally in life, when we have some sort of competition, you've got to do tryouts and things like that, and you've got to get qualified to get in the big race. You know, that's how life works. But Jesus is the one that qualifies us. So he gets us from darkness and puts us into the race. See, there's nothing we can do. We're not good enough. You know, if we rolled up to God's, you know, trial thing to see if we're good enough, we wouldn't get in. We're not good enough. We would fail. We'd fall short of God's standards, God's glory. If I rolled up to an athletic race, I would fall short of its glory and standards. Like, there's no way I could race an athletic race, let alone qualify into God's family. But Jesus calls us out of our hopeless spiritual situation, our hopeless of our shame and our guilt, our failures, our disappointments. He calls us out of that and qualifies us. That's the good news of the Bible. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus qualifies you into the kingdom and makes you a child of God, that you belong to a new family. Now you are in the race to run the race or walk the race or whichever race you want to see it as. He's placed in you the DNA to run the race, to walk the race. It's not based on your efforts, but God, what God has done, what God has given you. So we are thankful people. Thankful people to Jesus. Well, we sing songs about Jesus. We are praiseworthy of Jesus for what he has done. We're not winning the race to win some sort of prize like our efforts win. We run towards Jesus who is the prize. Who is the prize. And who gave his life so we could have eternal life. An opportunity of a lifetime. Do you have this life today? Is it in you? Is it growing? Jesus gives us the strength and power through the Holy Spirit to walk and run this race. Planted in you is the same word that was planted in these Colossians. It's in you. Same word spoken that spoke the universe in existence is in you. Jesus has done everything to qualify you. Given you a new heart with a new DNA to grow stronger and spiritually fit for him. And it's a lifetime race. Notice it's increasing in fruit and knowledge. Increasing. And sometimes we are running. Sometimes it's a patient walk. It talks about patience and endurance. It's not easy. But how do you react to this? After hearing what Paul is saying as Jesus is speaking through him, how do you react? You know, are you growing? Are you moving? As you move in the race or the walk, are you growing? Knowing Jesus more and more through his word, increasing in knowledge, in fruitfulness? The Holy Spirit has given you a fresh start so you will grow. The whole idea of that parable is that the seed, the gospel, grows. Nothing can stop it. Well, sorry, things were stopping it, but once it's in you, it should be growing. I wondered if Jesus turned around and knowing that he's qualified you and looking at the race and you're sitting on the bench. Be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Haven't I qualified you to be in the race? What are you doing on the bench? Haven't I given you the DNA in you to be able to grow? What are you doing on the bench? The reason I gave it to you is so you'll grow. What are you doing on the bench? Haven't I given you the word of life? What are you doing? Why are you sitting there? It's to increase in you, not decrease or be stagnant. Maybe we don't have the same passion as these people in Colossae. Maybe we don't have the same passion as Epaphras. That we don't see our lives like they did. We don't see the importance of Jesus in his word. Maybe our lives, maybe we don't see that in the lives of others. Have you missed something? Have we missed something in our life today? Think about it. What really excites you? What do you love to talk about? Where do you draw your excitement and joy from? What do you invest your life in and you believe you need and it helps you grow? Where's all your efforts? Jesus is the key. Growing in him is the key. Life in him is the key. Bearing fruit in him is the key. Increasing in knowledge of him is the key. The word should be multiplying and spreading out, growing in others and in people around us. You know, if I got a seed and planted it in water, I expect it to grow. Sorry, planted in the ground and watered it, I expect it to grow. And that's what Paul was excited about. The gospel was planted, they were growing. That's what it's designed to do. Jesus has planted a gospel in you to grow. Like a tree, at one point you were spiritually dead, now you've been made alive. Now you bear fruit. Nothing can disqualify you, but the evidence is in the growth. The fruit on the tree. How does your tree look today? Fruitless? Growing fruit? You know, I'm not talking about putting on a one-hour show this morning, Sunday morning. But is Jesus evident in your everyday works? It says, bearing fruit in every good work. Not just a couple hours on a Sunday. Every good work. Jesus is a lifestyle change, not just a religious one-hour weekend moment. And there is something wrong if we're not growing. The gospel is not doing its job. So we're doing something to affect it. Could it be like the parable that if you thought about that seed being planted every day, if you could think of that in our lives? And what are we doing on a daily level? Is it one seed planted among many that everything's growing up and competing with it and it gets choked out? You fill your life with things and give no room for Jesus to grow? Yet sadly, all those little fillers you do don't give you any hope or change. Which are you? Who are you? What's your life? If the gospel doesn't multiply its fruits in our lives, and if we're not seeing others grow in the knowledge of Jesus because of our telling of the hope in Jesus, then we have missed the point of why Jesus has planted it within us in the first place. We have missed the point completely. Because Epaphras, he got it. Epaphras got it. And he spread it to others and he grew himself. And he was excited by Jesus. Maybe today you don't follow Jesus. You're not living in right relationship with God, having Jesus as King. And Jesus is saying to you, where do you want to live? In my kingdom of spiritual life, I'll still live in darkness. Are you trying to qualify, thinking you can transfer your life somehow to be right with me? The gospel is good news because Jesus is the one who redeems us back. Jesus is the one. We need to trust him, believe in him. The idea of believing is not simply knowing he exists. It's depending on him each day. Depending on him. Not a once-off event, but depending on him. The gospel grew. The gospel grew in Epaphras because he heard it spoken by Paul and he believed it. The gospel grew in Colossae because Epaphras shared Jesus with his culture and friends and they heard it and they believed it. Today you have the same message. Today you hear me speak God's word and how Jesus wants you to grow. And we're going to look at this further because Colossians talks about growth. It talks about knowing God's will, which is found in that letter, to know God's will, which is to grow. And that Jesus qualifies you. The purpose is Jesus qualifying you. Jesus wants you to radically grow. He wants you to radically grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us life through your Son, that we are qualified to be your children with inheritance in heaven set aside for us as secure. We thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus who died on a cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you became a substitute for us, that took on our punishment, took on our sin. And through that we could be transferred from the darkness that we lived, the rebellion that we lived, and transferred into your glorious kingdom. We thank you, the Holy Spirit, that coming in us and giving us this new life, this new DNA that says no longer do we live in darkness, we live in the glorious light of the kingdom, and that you have qualified us to grow. So now we pray, Lord, that we will grow and grow and increase in the knowledge and be fruitful in every good work that we do. We pray this in the power of the Spirit, and the power of the gospel, and the power of your word. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our last song.